Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning and hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio program and MP3 files. You'll find Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on a number of subjects and a host of other Bible-related study material. Please take a look. It also will give you some information about us. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Come with an open Bible and an open mind. Let us show your need for God in your life and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we began a study, a short study, that will last maybe two or three more weeks, on the subject of the message of the Bible. We finished up showing you the finish of the Old Testament as it's divided into the books of prophecy, five major and the 12 minor prophets. This morning, we want to look a little bit more detail at the major prophets and give you some of the flavor of the things that are contained in those prophets. In the book of Isaiah, sometimes referred to as a messianic prophecy because he prophesied so much about the coming Messiah, in Isaiah 7:14, he prophesied of the virgin birth. In Isaiah 53, he prophesied of the suffering Savior that would die for the sins of the world. And then in Isaiah Chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the new kingdom. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says that the government of that new kingdom would be the Son of God. And then in Isaiah 62 and verse 2, it prophesied that this new kingdom would have a new name, and the citizens would have a new name. And so of all the prophecies that were contained in the book of Isaiah. And then when we turn to Jeremiah, it was told in chapter 1 and verse 10 that God was sending men to tear down some things and to pull down some things that needed to be changed and need to be done over because they had become ungodly. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 16, he iterates the steps of apostasy that Israel had taken that led them to their disobedience and rebellion towards God. In that list, he says that they could not even blush. They were no longer ashamed of their conduct and how ungodly it was. Sound much like our time. And in Jeremiah chapter 18, he gave the story of the potter and the clay and how the potter has command over the clay to make it any way that he wanted it. And that was a spiritual lesson that God was the potter and Israel was the clay, and he could mold her into whatever he wanted her to be. And then in Jeremiah chapter 31 through 34, Jeremiah prophesied of a new covenant for Israel and Judah, who would no longer be two nations but one, and that one nation would have one law. Of course, that's talking about the new covenant. In the book of Lamentations, often referred to the author Jeremiah as a weeping prophet, in Lamentations 1 and verse 12, it says, "Is it nothing to you, all who pass by? Behold and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord inflicted in the day of his fierce anger." He's talking about the destruction of his beloved Jerusalem. And he sees it lying in ruins, and it brings him to a depth of despair because he knows what could have been and knows what it was in the beginning. But by their rebellion and rejection of God, they caused deep mourning. And then you have the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was written to a rebellious nation. He was sent to a people who would not listen to him. God told him that in Ezekiel 2, 1 through 6. He was told that he was God's watchman. And as that watchman in chapter 3, verse 17, 21, his responsibility was to warn them. Not worry about what they would do with the warning, but his responsibility was to warn them. And in Ezekiel 18:20, he teaches us that sin cannot pass on to other descendants. The father doesn't inherit the sins of the son, and the son doesn't inherit the sin of the father. Each one is guilty when they commit their own sin. In Ezekiel 34, he rebukes the false shepherd that had led his children and led the children of God into apostasy, and God tells him through the prophet Ezekiel that he's going to hold them accountable. And then in Ezekiel chapter 37, there is a vision of the dry bones. Now, to give you an example of how men misuse books of the Bible, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, they say that this vision of dry bones is talking about one book being the right hand, the Bible, and the left being the Book of Mormon, and the two becoming one. That's false. If you read the narrative and you study Ezekiel chapter 37, you will find that this is a prophecy concerning the two divided nations, Israel and Judah, that went into captivity, are going to come out as one people, not two nations anymore. Just read the text. It explains itself. And then the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we see that this man was in captivity in Babylon when that Judah was taken into Babylonian captivity. And they were chosen to be people that would be trained in the Babylonian culture and their ways. And Daniel was seen to be 10 times better than all the other king's men because he did not defy God's law. He kept it even in captivity. In Daniel chapter 2, he sees a new kingdom, and he sees an image that has a picture of four world empires that will be followed by a fifth that would be greater than all the other preceding kingdoms. Of course, that's a prophecy concerning the church. In Daniel 6, we see the den of lions and how God protects Daniel because of his faithfulness. And in Daniel chapter 7, we see a prophecy concerning the ascension of Jesus back to heaven in Daniel chapter 7, verse 3 and 13 and 14, excuse me. That leads us to the minor prophets. The minor prophets begin with Hosea. Hosea makes a very startling revelation. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Hosea says God's people were destroyed because of their lack of knowledge, not because they couldn't follow it, that they wouldn't. Joel, and it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be a deliverance, as the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord will call. This is a prophecy that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 21. Amos made this conclusion. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out in a den if he has caught nothing? No, two men have to agree. There has to be an agreement between God and man for it to work. Obadiah, but the day you should have gazed, but you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in his day of captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah and in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of their distress. This is in Obadiah telling the nations that gloated about the destruction of Jerusalem that their day too was coming. Jonah is written to the Ninevites of Assyria to get them to repent of their ungodliness. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. After spending 3 days in that fish, Jonah had a change of heart and went and preached to the Ninevites as God had commanded him before. Micah. Micah says in that Micah 6, 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6, verse 8. Good principle and admonition even for today. Nahum, who writes the book 135 years after the book of Jonah, when Nineveh is going to be destroyed now because she went back to ungodly ways in Nahum chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Habakkuk, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19, trusting in God's salvation is a must. Zephaniah, for then I will restore the people a pure language, and they may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. The faithful remnant, Zephaniah says, will return from Babylonian captivity. Haggai told the children of Israel to finish building the temple that they started when they came out of Babylonian captivity, but they had stopped. And then in the book of Haggai, they see the temple that is rebuilt, but it does not have the glory of the original one. The later temple would be greater than the former. And of course, that has reference to the church. In Zechariah, this too is a book of signs and symbols. For the seed shall be prosperous. The ground shall give her increase. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all things. And it shall come to pass, just as there was a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Again, this is a prophecy concerning the return of Israel and Judah out of Babylonian captivity. And Malachi, in chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, tells the prophecy about the coming of John the Baptist. Behold, I will send to you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, understand that in these books of prophecy, both major and minor, here is the message. A Savior is coming. A Savior is coming. In the beginning of the Bible, in the earlier books we looked at, it said that a Savior was needed. Man fell into disarray. He fell into sin. That made it necessary that he had a Savior that would be able to redeem him and bring him out of sin. And then, in the second part of the Bible, we see that a Savior is coming. That they need a Savior in the beginning of the book. And then as we go along in the Bible story, now we find that a Savior is coming. And so sin demonstrated that they needed a Savior, and the books of prophecy promised that God was going to send that Savior to remedy the sin problem. And so what you see in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, you see unfolding the patriarchal era and the Mosaic era. You also see the promise of the prophecy concerning Christ in the book of Isaiah, and the prophecies and the books of history that shows the history of God's people that led them into destruction because of their disobedience to God. And so as we end the Old Testament, we have the first two points of the Bible that we need a Savior, and a Savior is coming. And we see that the nation of Israel has become disobedient, and God's now going to turn his attention to the Gentiles. And we will see that as we begin to unfold the story of the New Testament. And Lord willing, we will begin that next week as we begin to look at the New Testament and the New Covenant and how it shows the fulfillment of the things all written in the Old Covenant. Thank you for listening.